opinions expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of Charter Communications nor its sponsors. We recognize our obligation to present opposing points of view by responsible spokespersons. For information, please contact the director of program.
She stands in the face of evil and will not lose hope or faith. America, the land of freedom, is still the home of the brave. So raise the banner.
For over 100 years, life powered by Edison. And by the Press Telegram, your local news leader for over 100 years.
Join us for tonight's edition of Straight Talk. And now your host, Art Levine.
Good evening. Welcome to Straight Talk. We have a great show for you tonight. Our guest for the entire show will be our Congressman, Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, representing the 46th Congressional District. And as he likes to say, Dana, you are the best surfer in Congress.
The only surfer in Congress, thus the best surfer in Congress.
There you go. He's been in office for 18 years, believe it or not. Time goes fast when you're having fun.
Yep, time goes fast. The beard's off. Whole business.
Well, we have a lot of serious issues to discuss tonight, Congressman, and I'd like to start with the 9/11 Commission that issued a report card on how many of its 41 recommendations have been implemented. If your kid got that report card, you'd put him or her on restriction. It's very sad that on a matter of national security, we find government moving so slowly. Give us your take on the situation.
Well, there's been a lot of money spent and a lot of money allocated by Congress to achieve these ends. Unfortunately, you've seen people throughout our country at the federal and state and local governments who have decided to exploit this whole idea of homeland security in order to meet the needs of what they consider to be their most important priorities, which may or may not be part of the overall strategy to make this a safer country. And, you know, you have people who are taking funds, this is the cash cow for them now. And it's unfortunately, we have not had nearly the progress that we should have had people taken this seriously.
Well, let's just take two of the recommendations that have not been implemented. The first, and this was a problem in New York, police and fire could not speak to each other. Communication problem. Lives were lost because of that inability of communication. The commission recommended, and it's a no-brainer to me, that there be a certain frequency assigned to first responders. So all over America, they all know they can talk on a certain frequency. That requires congressional approval. And that hasn't been done. And I'm told that there are commercial interests that are resisting relinquishing that portion of the frequency. Why in the world could not something as simple as that be done? Because at Katrina, the same problem occurred, inability to communicate, four years later.
There are different interests at play here who have, their entire livelihood of their themselves and their employees at stake. They're trying to make sure that they don't maneuver themselves into oblivion, and thus the families who depend on to pay for their rent and to exist have been betrayed by the leadership of those companies. So the companies are playing hardball, and there are some very complicated issues in that. Not to say that it shouldn't have already been done. I would think that somebody should have stepped forward, and it's not, you know, Congress allocates the money. Congress will provide the guidelines, but the implementation does have to do with the executive branch and with the president. And it would seem to me that we should have had a little more forceful leadership coming from an individual, a czar, so to speak, but in this specific area.
Well, I watched the co-chairs of the 9/11 Commission in this final round, and two men of incredible integrity, Congressman Lee Hamilton and Tom Keene, and with the support of the 9/11 families, impressive.
I don't think they're impressive at all. Okay. I don't like them. I think they're Lee Hamilton and they're old politicians. They've been around a long time, and I think their lack of energy and lack of idealism in this is part of the problem. And I know that they put on a good show, and a lot of people would like to just, oh my gosh, it's like the commission that investigated Kennedy's assassination, but it was just totally impeccable, and you want to sit back and just believe the Warren Commission. Well, there's a lot of, I think that the 9/11 Commission was highly politicized, and the public isn't aware about it, and they will be later on.
Are you suggesting that the Warren Commission also was highly politicized?
I think that the Warren Commission was not something that you could sit back and just decide that that you could trust everything that has been presented.
I agree with you on that one for sure. Let's take another example, a recommendation that has not been implemented. Well, this was the basic concept of, and you refer to it in your opening remarks, that money allocated to Homeland Security is not being allocated according to risk, but rather according to formulas and politics. And to me, it's unthinkable, although I guess I understand it, that money not go to where, I mean, here in Long Beach, in L.A., our harbor, combined harbors, are the fifth largest in the world. They're a national security risk, as is New York and Washington. Why shouldn't the money go where the risk is instead of to Montana or Utah?
Oh, that's a very good question. I had a proposal, as you know, that was aimed at container fees that would keep money for new security costs here at the local level and paid for the pool of money would stay where that money was collected, and instead the local ports opposed it, and they wanted the federal government to have the collected and then distribute it.
Well, that's another issue,
which is stupid.
But you would agree that money should go where the risk is.
Money should go where the risk is, and the risk—the fact is that we have the most, the most business goes through our ports than any other ports in this country. Thus, we could collect more money and leave it here, rather than having the federal bureaucracy dole it back to us by having our people beg to have this or this local security project funded. But our ports decided not to go in that direction.
So what I hear you saying is, don't wait for the federal government, do it yourself.
No, what we have to do is we have to make sure that we structure the system so the federal bureaucracy isn't the deciding factor in changes that need to happen locally. And I've been getting total resistance from local people on this. And a lot of people now understand the wisdom of my strategy. One last thought on this. We are safer than we were. The 9/11 Commission, as I say, is a political motivated commission. There's a lot of things that are going to come out about that commission that will probably loosen your faith in the two gentlemen that you mentioned. But with that said, this president, and with the acknowledgement that there are things that this president could have done that would have made things more efficient, this president is doing a wonderful job in the most important aspect of making sure that we have homeland security, and that's fighting the enemy overseas, decapitating the enemy overseas, fighting them in Iraq, making sure that that the battle is being fought overseas rather than down here, that their resources are being used there rather than here. And that, our president has done a magnificent job.
Okay, we'll pick up on that point, the Iraqi war, after we come back from these commercial messages.
Power lines are highways for electricity we must maintain to keep a steady flow. And as California's power needs grow, more lines are needed to keep electricity flowing reliably. That's why Edison has committed $9 billion to upgrade the system of wires that serve Southern Californians. It's an investment in reliability that benefits everyone in our state, and an important step we're taking to help build the future for Edison customers. For over 100 years, life powered by Edison.
Own a digital camera? Come to Fromex Photo Lab to have your prints made. Using the latest high-tech equipment, Fromex will give you high-quality archival prints from your digital camera. Drop off your camera memory card just like a roll of film.
The new Fromex Annex now offers classes in basic digital photography. Learn how to get great photos from any digital camera. Ask about class availability.
Fromex Photo Lab and Digital Imaging, in Belmont Shore since 1982.
Founded in 1976, Polly's Gourmet Coffee is Southern California's most complete gourmet coffee store. Polly's has the best tasting coffee freshly roasted every day right in the store. Plus a wide selection of teas, an in-house bakery, espresso bar, patio dining, and more. We also offer Wi-Fi, free internet access for all of our customers. Our nationwide clientele agree when it comes to coffee, there's only one name to remember, Polly's. 4606 East 2nd Street, welcoming you into Belmont Shore.
It's time to make your career move. With quality training and education from the university of choice, Cal State Long Beach. Achieve personal and professional excellence by enrolling in career-enhancing programs offered through University College and Extension Services. Courses include computer technology, management, leadership, global transportation, accelerated degree programs, and more. Make your career move now. Call today for your free catalog.
We're back continuing this fascinating discussion with Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, representing the 46th Congressional District. We're talking about the war. Dana, I know you supported the president, supported the invasion of Iraq. Would you grant that the implementation of the occupation has left much to be desired?
If you're comparing it against something that's perfect, yes. If you're comparing it against reality and what's happened in the past, no.
But I mean, were there enough troops there to do it? Was the planning adequate for the occupation?
Well, if you were to compare it against something perfect, you have to compare it what's happened in Korea. I mean, we're doing better than what we did in Korea. I mean, for Pete's sakes, and after World War II, what happened in Germany and throughout Europe was totally chaotic. And the Nazis had a group called the Werewolves that were out murdering local officials, and that happened for years after.
Do you think
World
the government
War
II. Will be able? To, I mean, the elections are coming up there in Iraq. Right. Do you think the government will be able to stand up when the security forces?
We've laid the foundation for a democratic society.
But it's
there.
Up to them, isn't it?
Of course it is. But
ultimately.
But
we're giving them a shot.
We're giving them a shot. But without our sacrifice, without our commitment, the worst kind of Islamo-fascist or just a dictator like Saddam Hussein, bloody, brutal dictator like him, one who hates America, an anti-American, brutal totalitarian force would be in charge of that country and those people unless we made this sacrifice, and it was well worth it.
Okay, so in your view, we've given them a chance, but they really have to step up to the plate.
That's it, and they're beginning to, in a big time.
The Patriot Act passed after 9/11. Some felt necessary to protect ourselves against the terrorist threat. Others feel is a clear and present danger to our own freedoms and security. Yeah. Speak to that.
Well, I supported the Patriot Act when it was passed because it increased the powers, the investigative powers of our government into perhaps acts of terrorism here within the United States, which we knew was part of this battle. However, in the original Patriot Act, we had what you call sunset provisions, in which all of these things, for example, we expanded the power of our investigative police forces, like the FBI and others, to go through all of your credit. If you credit cards, all of your personal papers, without even you knowing about it, and without a search warrant. Well, that might be necessary in a wartime. And I voted to expand that power during wartime, but I wanted it sunsetted, and so every 4 years you have to renew it. And after the war is over, you let it fade away, let it go away. Well, unfortunately, there have been some members, especially in the House, some Republican members, who are trying now to put the Patriot Act through and making all of those expansions of police powers permanent. Now, I don't think we need to worry about it during the war. we need to win this war with Islamofascism, with the terrorists. But after the war is over, we should go back and have the same freedom and protections that we had before.
I guess they would say, is the war over, or is this war on terrorism continuing?
No, it's not over. I'd say, you know, 4 years from now, it might be. But it's not now, and I would vote to have those police powers extended for another four years.
Not forever.
But not forever.
And the bill was forever.
The bill is forever.
I see.
So I've been the Republican leader in the House.
So that doesn't make you Mr. Popularity among your Republican colleagues.
No, but it makes people know that I'm an honest person, and I do believe in civil liberties.
Torture has gotten a lot of press of late, and many Americans shudder at the thought that our official government policy condones torture.
Well, it doesn't, but I don't think that that's necessarily the question. First of all, when people think of torture, they're thinking of innocent people being tortured. A moment ago, I talked about civil liberties. You know, someone who commits murder and slaughters people gives up his civil liberties. He ends up in prison, right? So you lose your civil liberties.
Yeah, after he's convicted in a trial.
Right. Okay. So in a wartime situation where you have people who are terrorists, who are targeting, let's say 3,000 people in two buildings in New York. Maybe they're targeting things like that. Or let's say the port area here, where they might kill 1 million people in our area. No, if we capture some of them in order to get the information, frankly, I don't care.
But Congressman,
as you well understand,
the question is who decides that X is a terrorist, and we're in a situation where American citizens can be plucked off the street, so-and-so is a terrorist, held without counsel, as the government did, and then God forbid, tortured.
You know, I hope if a bomb goes off, your family's safe, because you're trying to, you're offering the argument of why we should not take that guy.
No, but you're assuming.
No, I'm not. I'm assuming it might be.
Well,
I'm telling you.
I would agree if you knew that he was the guy or the gal, and he had information that could save thousands of lives.
Well, obviously, you're not
going to.
Obviously, our police forces aren't picking up someone random. They have some reason to believe that this person knows something.
But now, recently, a German was picked up and apparently sent to Afghanistan, and it turns out the wrong guy.
I'll tell you something. There's been a lot of friendly fire people who lose their lives overseas. Yeah. This happens in war.
Okay.
But the fact is, to tie the hands of our people,
okay,
I hope everyone who's listening to this says, I'm willing to give up my family's life to make sure that someone who there's a chance that he's really not connected with those terrorists is not tortured.
What about the argument from CIA high officials that say it doesn't work because they'll say anything to relieve the pressure, that the torture, just as a policy, forget about the ethics, doesn't work?
I don't know that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. All I can say is that morally, it is not wrong to save the lives of hundreds or thousands of people by torturing one terrorist into telling us how do you dismantle the bomb before it goes off.
I think most would agree with that as you phrase the question. Okay, we're going to lead into ethics in our last segment, and we'll be continuing with the Congressman after these messages.
Sometimes you just need a good lawyer. Sometimes life is complicated, unfair, or you may be wrongfully accused. Hi, I'm Rich Poland. I've been helping people in Long Beach for over 25 years. You've already taken me into your home. I'm on the back of your big phone book. I've helped your kids reach the table. I've even held the door open for you. The State Bar has certified me as a criminal law specialist. I'm here to help because sometimes you just need a good lawyer.
The name Diversa defines excellence in precision haircutting and design. Diversa Salon has been doing business for more than 20 years. For men and women, Diversa provides the total experience in haircuts, skincare, and a variety of services for more than 80 stylists and technicians. Our beauty supply stores feature Diversa brand and a large selection of major products to keep you looking your best. We have 3 convenient locations to serve you, so call now for an appointment. For the total experience, come to Diversa.
Welcome to Golden Security Bank. We are committed to providing commercial real estate loans that meet your specific needs. Golden Security Bank has been a wholesale lender in Southern California more than 20 years. And we've also been the top-ranked bank under $1 billion in assets and are now funding loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million. With our experienced team of loan consultants that have more than 70 years of combined commercial lending expertise, you will get a yes answer fast. Golden Security Bank, we look forward to putting our experience to work for you.
Welcome to Maury's of Naples. Maury's is a unique store specializing in wine, spirits, beers, gift baskets, gourmet foods, and European specialties. Upon entering, you'll encounter a vast selection and a staff that is more than willing to assist you. Take time to look around. You'll be amazed. Wine and beer tasting is held every week. Visit Maury's.com to get the latest information. Maury's of Naples, since 1938, where customer satisfaction is our top priority.
My husband and I both come here. He loves it.
The benefits of physically fit are the personalized training.
We have a very good reputation in the community.
My doctor recommended I come to physically fit.
I would definitely recommend physically fit.
We're Craig and Yvonne Claro.
And we would like to help you reach your fitness goals.
Continue our conversation with Congressman Dana Rohrabacher. Last show, Dana, we had representatives of the port on, and as many of our regular viewers know, the LNG proposed terminal in the port has become a very controversial issue. Some arguing that it's unduly risky to the community, others saying we need LNG, and this is the best way to... Your take on the LNG controversy?
Well, first of all, LNG gives us a clean source of energy, and it's replacing dirty sources of energy. So if anybody who's against this... has got to understand they are against cleaner air. So that's number one. Number two, LNG, yeah, there are some risks to it, but as compared to other fuels, this is one of the safest fuels as compared to other fuels. Now, even by adding this to our local environment, then, increases the danger because you now have something else there. If you're only concerned about safety, if that's what you're really concerned about, they should be closing down these. They have fuel storage facilities for jet fuel and other kinds of fuel there that are much more dangerous than LNG. Those should be closed down, and the LNG facilities should be put in because that would be much safer.
Fascinating. Haven't heard that one before. Very, very interesting.
And we have cleaner air.
Yeah. I do remember on our show a year ago when we were talking about the traffic problem, you had advocated... 24/7 on the freeways, which was somewhat controversial then, but it's come to be and it's working.
Well, that's sometimes you got to drag people kicking and screaming. As you know, they wanted me to support the widening of the freeway, which would have cost probably $5 to $10 billion.
It just wasn't going to happen anyway.
We weren't even using the freeway late at night. So,
well, I think 30% of the traffic has now been diverted, which is so it's very encouraging. Let's turn to ethics, one of our favorite subjects. The Duke has taken the hit down in San Diego.
Which he deserves. He broke the law. He did things that none of us would have imagined that he would have had that kind of... those were his standards. And to be fair about it, a lot of us felt that Duke, after he had an operation about 7 years ago...
Yes.
And I honestly can tell you that I've treated him as if he was operating on half his cylinders since then.
I mean, a genuine hero from the Vietnam War, decorated pilot, very sad to see. I mean, nothing's worse for a legislator than selling your seat.
Well, people make bad decisions in their lives, and Duke is paying the consequences for that, as he should. And however, let me note, in this big frenzy back there in Washington where people think that there's an ethics crisis in Washington, things are a lot better now than they were when I got into Congress 18 years ago. We have much higher ethical standards in place now that the Republicans are there and have put those ethical standards in place.
But are they being enforced rather than just on paper?
Sure they are. They are what you... These are the standards you have to meet.
Well, your leader, Tom DeLay, is under indictment.
Well, he's under indictment, and what the first and most important of those charges was thrown out by a judge just last week. And the fact is, if he's guilty, he will pay the penalty. But the fact is, it's who brought these charges, but an activist Democrat prosecutor in Texas. Already, as I say, the biggest of the charges was thrown out by a judge.
Well, a conspiracy charge was thrown out.
That was the biggest.
And several lobbyists are under investigation. One assistant has been indicted. Yeah. And
Jack Abramoff has become a household name and been vilified. He has done some things that are probably wrong. I haven't studied those areas. I know he was involved in a boat deal. But by and large, the things that they're vilifying Jack Abramoff about are things that are common practice in Washington and have been so for 50 years. He represented...
Well, are you saying that the fact that a lot of people do it makes it okay?
No. This is but you don't vilify someone and try to claim that Republicans are overseeing an ethics crisis when, in fact, it was standard operating procedures.
So you're saying, this gambling like in Casablanca, gambling,
correct.
Shocking.
Well, I mean, what are you... He represented an Indian tribe who hired him to stop another Indian tribe from opening the casino. Okay, he represented, they were his client. Mm-hmm. Then he went over after he had succeeded and said to the other Indian tribe, hey, look how good I am, hire me and I can help you out. Well, that was turned into like he was some sort of an evil person.
Let me just ask the broad question, and you've been, I couldn't believe it when you told me before you went on, 18 years in right. Congress. The role of money in the system, it's not a constructive role that money often plays.
For example, Duke Cunningham, it had nothing to do with the money for his campaigns that this was all about. He was doing this for personal gain. Mm. If you have people who are going to make decisions based on personal gain or campaign contributions, I don't think there's any way you can protect against that. You just have to judge whether or not your member of Congress is an honest person or not. And if they aren't, get rid of them.
My own view of it is that we need just more disclosure, that you'll never stop money from going to politicians because politicians need money to run, but at least we can disclose it, have it out there, and make people
Absolutely.
Make their own judgment.
Full disclosure is what is vital, but what we've done now with various, quote, reforms is made it harder for people to raise money, say, you can only take a $1,000 contribution or a $2,000 contribution, and thus we are turning Congress over to the rich. Over half the people in Congress are millionaires.
Yeah.
I hate to say that I am not a law far from a millionaire.
But you're a surfer.
I am a surfer. But we shouldn't have a situation where only millionaires can do it because they self-finance.
Sure. And very quickly, I'd like to see redistricting reform because I think it's really obscene that the legislature picks their voters instead of the voters picking the legislators.
I supported the Arnold's... proposal to do that, even though it would have caused me a lot of pain. Yeah. I thought it was a very good idea that we make these competitive seats.
Yeah. Well, your district salamanders along the coast there.
The most
rich enclaves, hither and thither.
It's the gerrymandering of all districts. And if Arnold would have put me in a more competitive district, I supported that.
Sure.
But if it was what's best for the people of the state and keeps people honest, that's the way we should have gone.
We have 30 seconds left, Congressman, to say whatever you'd like.
Well, it's a holiday season. I've got three little babies at home. My babies and all of the people who are listening, our families, our neighbors, are a lot safer today because we've got people at this minute defending us overseas. And our president has a strategy that I think we can be proud of that's going to win in the end. But we haven't suffered any major attacks, so we have a lot to be grateful for that we're safer than we were.
Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, thank you again for joining us. And thank you at home. Join us next week for the next edition of Straight Talk. Good night, everyone.
Straight Talk has been brought to you by Southern California Edison and the Press-Telegram. And remember, Straight Talk is viewable worldwide 24/7 at StraightTalkTV.com.